Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
I'm Lee Brown, and I'm your hostess of Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we talk about all the things in real estate that nobody ever told you existed, because frankly, none of us ever knew they existed until we found it and then worked our way through it. And today, as I just gave you all the sneak peek, we have Chris Prefontaine with us. Chris, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, pleasure. I can't wait to chat.
Okay, so tell our listeners who you are, where you're located, any of the little tidbits about you that will give them a little insight into the Chris life.
Sure. So at the risk of dating myself, I've been at this for almost 30 years, 29 and a half years in some shape, form, or fashion. We're in Newport, Rhode Island, small little town in the smallest state in the country. And I've got my son, Nick, and my son-in-law, Zach. We run a buying and selling entity, and we coach others around the country doing the same thing, actually all around North America. So we're local, but we've got a nice little reach with a bunch of cool students.
How did you get Nick and Zach to get into real estate? Because most kids are realtors, including this one, swear all along, although no way I'm doing what my parents do.
Nick grew up with it, right? So he's around it. I mean, he was doing cold doors pre-foreclosure in some tough neighborhoods as a junior in high school. And my wife and I think back now, and she's like, I can't believe you had him do that. And then Zach and Kayla started with me, my daughter and son-in-law, around 2015, right out of personal training and bartending. So no experience. So two different backgrounds. Just kind of organically came together.
No, bartending is the perfect experience for real estate. I'm just going to say, as somebody who paid school bartending, we know how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So, of course, the premise of Crazy Shit in Real Estate is you get to tell stories about real estate that nobody expects to ever hear, the things they don't know about the business. And knowing that most of my listeners and viewers are not in real estate, they're just, what are we going to hear today kind of people. I'd love to know what kind of an angle and oddball story you've seen in your time. And you mentioned working with foreclosures. We all know that's a side of the business that people are intrigued by. And you and I know that it happened in all market conditions. But, you know, I'm glad you sent Nick out to knock on doors, because that's frankly, if everybody knocked on doors in every kind of neighborhood, we'd all get along better, because you learn real quickly that people are people.
Well, that and toe to toe. I mean, I don't care what profession you're in, you can't learn anything better than toe to toe. Really?
Exactly.
It's pretty cool. Actually, we don't touch foreclosures anymore. but
for
I
now,
can tell
right?
You what's a little different right now is just this whole, you know, with COVID, everyone said, I wonder how each niche in real estate is going to do, right? Of course they did. And when I came out of 08, I got crushed in 08 because I was on personally signed on a whole bunch of stuff. And so barely wanting to get back in the business, then said, if I was to get in, what am I going to do? And it was to buy and sell on terms, like no bank loans, no money, none of that. And so we said, okay, this is going to kind of weather all storms. Of course, we said that. We built it. But then when COVID happened, we've been triple the deals every month consecutively, March, April, May. So it's just, it's crazy times. Nobody expected it.
So tell me how you make that happen. How do you make the money happen? That's a big question a lot of people have. They want to invest. They want to do interesting things with real estate. They don't know how to get started beyond the fact that they bank with Bank of America. And you and I know that's not a typical lending source for interesting projects.
Yeah. So we buy everything lease, purchase, or owner financing, neither of those requiring a bank loan or your personal money. So especially for people wanting to dip their toe in, lease purchase is great. You don't take the deed over. You don't have any costs at the beginning. You have a $10 whopping deposit at the beginning of a deal. That's it.
All right. So how does somebody get started in it? What's the deal? How do they get going?
So how does the deal look like? When we talk about that, like what's that lease purchase look like?
So we have a lot. 70% of my listeners are consumers. They don't know all of the ins and outs, the language. They don't know what you're talking about. So break it down for a non-real estate professional.
Yeah. And so preface it with the fact that banks aren't lending like they were, right? So people aren't getting loans. And so people go, oh, I guess I can't sell. No, you can. Here's what a lease purchase looks like. Let's say it's your house and you've let's paint a picture of it's worth about $300,000. We agree on that. And you got an underlying loan of $250,000. I'll just give you some equity here. So you got $50,000 in equity in the deal. And I say to you as the seller, I'm going to take over your underlying mortgage payments. Once I have my buyer in place, I'm going to take care of your maintenance, your repairs, everything. On or before the end of the term, 36 months, I'm going to get you your full 50 that you didn't get trying to sell it on the market, whether it was COVID or whatever it was, you didn't get it. So I'm going to give you the 50 and I'm going to pay off your loan. Now, why is it good for them? Well, they lock in their profit unless they need it tomorrow for a house, right? For the family or whatever. And it's hands off. They're done. They have closure, especially now with everybody kind of bopping and weaving with their jobs. That's a good thing. Unless, again, the family needs the cash tomorrow to buy, terms, i.e. lease purchase, is a great way of doing it.
This assumption then is that the markets go down, correct? Or is the assumption that the seller doesn't need to worry about future market conditions? They just need to have
clarity
on what they're getting out of it?
Yeah, the assumption there is the seller needs or wants closure or needs or wants the most out of the property. And I'm saying that because some people have no equity, right, in the property. So it can be even upside down. I just gave that one scenario where they had some. So they can protect it all and they don't have to worry about it, what the market's going to do. See, if we get long enough terms on these things, long enough time, it doesn't matter what the price is. That's why it's so successful. Up market, down market, flat, doesn't matter.
All right. So how do you sell this to a seller in a market where there's plenty of buyers? Does this only work in markets where houses are sitting?
Good question. So right before COVID, markets were steaming hot and we get students all over the place. So I will tell you, most markets were hot, some were flat. So it's not a convince. It's trying to find or trying to get them the solution they're looking for. Because I don't care how hot the markets are, as you know, there's expired listings, right? You know that from in the realtor world.
Absolutely.
So we fish in that pond pretty heavy and we fish in the free and clear, like no debt on property. There's about a third of the properties in the U.S. that have that. So those people presumably would have taken the money out if they needed it. So they'll structure deals with us that are 5 and 10 year deals. This building that I'm in is a 20-year deal. No banks, no personal signatures, no nothing.
All right. So what's the craziest scenario you've seen where you brought some solution to somebody?
Well, this one is so crazy, it doesn't even make sense. I was thinking about your show this morning driving in, and we did an oceanfront home, just about $1 million. She's a realtor. She couldn't sell it. She saw that we buy on terms. She agreed to owner financing with us, $945,000, I think it was. And we agreed to $2,500 a month principal only payments to her. Now, here's the wacky part. We still don't know why she did it, because she said, I want to stay in the property now. We said, what? I don't understand that. Well, her mom is sick and just mentally she wanted to stay in the property still so she didn't have to move her mom. But she said, each month I'm here, you don't have to make the $2,500 principal payment, but you'll get $2,500 principal credit. And she'll pay the taxes while she's there. We own it. And the only thing we pay is homeowner's insurance. She stayed there for about 26 months. She just recently left.
She paid you to live in her own house?
Sort of. She gave us a credit every month. It was the weirdest thing because we didn't put any whopping down payment down. Now, when she left, we had a payment due. She was supposed to stay 6 months and stayed 24 or 26.
So you gave her some stability and peace of mind. And
I think it's the latter, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So in your personal life, when you buy and sell, do you buy and sell this way? Or do you just take it at this point?
That's another great question. So this office building I told you for the business is on terms. My personal residence, I bought a tiny little cottage, tore it down and built, but I built the rest cash. So I have a tiny loan on it, like 16% loan to value or something. But that's the only exception I do tell people. I say, look, your personal house, okay, I can deal with that. But when an investor calls me and goes, yeah, it's okay, I have like 4 or 5 loans in my name. I said, no, it's not. Because if something happens, they're knocking on your door and they're coming after you for the money.
Yeah, a little over leverage. So you have limits on the amount of debt you're willing to work with somebody on?
After 08, I learned the hard way.
Yeah, that was definitely a time that taught a lot of people think about finances. All right, so give us a story. My people like stories. Tell us a story about something you've seen besides a financial one.
I can give you a graphic one. People will never want to own a property if they hear this one, but I guess you're talking.
Okay, so big caveat, you do want to own property. Okay, so with that being said, tell the good story.
Yeah, so we used to buy college properties, a partner and I, back in the 90s. We had about 11 of them by College of Holy Cross, Worcester, Massachusetts. For the most part, they were great. It's a great model. A lot of people still teach it. Who knows after COVID what will happen, but we got a call like 2 a.m. We didn't know why, but the basement was filled up with sewer about a good foot. My partner's a plumber and he said, look, you can't call like the Board of Health or anything. This place will be shut down. So I would never do it again. But we went with garbage bags and shirts around our nose. And yes, we did clean it out. And then it happened a second time at the same freaking property. So I can't think of a more weird story for your show than that one there.
Oh, I mean, it is crazy shit in real estate, but you said a foot deep.
It was nasty.
What did they do?
Come to find out, it wasn't anything with the kids. It was roots had grown into the pipes. And that's why it happened again, because we couldn't figure it out.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because that's actually in the real estate space. That's one of our giant infrastructure issues going on with the aging infrastructure in so many communities throughout the United States.
It really is.
These roots are growing in. And if it's that space in the sewer line between the street and the house, there's now a massive fight over who's responsible for the broken
Absolutely.
Homeowner or the town. So hey, listeners and your friends, y'all better start paying attention to this kind of shit, because that could be coming to your house, and you should know what your town's plans are for infrastructure and sewer lines so you don't have to get boots on.
Yeah, probably get rid of those big trees in your front yard. Just a thought.
Oh, or at least talk to a tree guy about how to mitigate the root situation, because some root situations can be mitigated.
Yep.
All right, Chris, if somebody wants to find out more about Bridge the Gap, how to do lease purchase investments, how do they find you, Nick and Zach, and the rest of your team?
Just go to smartrealestatecoach.com. If they can deal with listening to me for another hour, there's a free webinar there, and it'll give them a little taste. And I can teach you how to go make $1 million. It's going to teach you what it is that we do. It'll be an eye-opener.
It's not a 3 a.m. infomercial?
No. It almost drives me crazy.
You know, they still make a lot of money, and it makes my heart sad.
Well, they do, because they know how to market. It's interesting. So the shirt I have on today is because of that. There's a lot of crap out there, and then people think they're going to make money overnight. So we're trying to do deals, like bridge that time frame where people actually can get stuff done.
Right. So you make good deals over time, and it pays off, because this is not an overnight instant money pot, which people think it is. And that's what got us into 08 in a lot of its instances.
You bet. Yep. Manage your expectations.
Thanks for coming on the show. And hey, friends, all of his information is in the show notes for this episode. So if you have more questions, if this confused you more and you want to know more, just reach out to him and his team and they'll give you some help. And you should also check with your town about infrastructure, because you don't want shit in the basement. In the meantime, if you have something you want to talk about on the show, give me a shout at Lou Brown on Twitter or any of the networks to be featured in a future episode.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.